The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, the spokesperson on Justice, Home Affairs and Migration and chairperson of the Oireachtas Committee on Justice, Home Affairs and Migration is Sinn Féin Cavan Monaghan, TD Matt Carthy. And Matt is on the line now. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Apologies, my voice isn't great this morning.
No worries. We don't really want to talk to you about your leader's contention that Micheál Martin's spending too much time out of the country. We want to talk to you about the information that has been revealed that the cost of international protection is heading for 1 billion euro and is likely to equal that or even surpass it in this current year. What do you say?
So there's no surprise there at all. This is a symptom of the dysfunction of the IPAS system, which has essentially created a sector that is booming, and that is the provision of IPAS accommodation. The average rate per bed per night rose by 68% just from 2022 to 2024. So it's not just the numbers of people seeking international accommodation. Mm. It's actually the profits that are being made by those who are providing that accommodation.
Okay. Now tell me this, the audit of these kind of figures. I mean, do we get chapter and verse as to where the money goes? For example, there's obviously the cost of food, et cetera, and that can be factored into any cost. But if it's the cost of accommodation, is it about supply and demand? You know, the government seeking more and more places, landlords saying, well, I've got a place, but if you want it, you're going to have to pay.
So the direct answer to your question in relation to do we get answers is no. And in fact, last year, the Controller and Auditor General, in his annual report, he outlined a litany of issues in relation to the management of contracts for IPAS accommodation in the state. And the report was really, really damning, one of the most damning I've seen in terms of lack of due diligence and payment controls that are in place. So we don't know precisely how and why different figures are arrived at in terms of the payments that are made to individuals. In fact, we don't get a final figure in terms of what companies receive, but we don't get, in respect of that, how many beds they're providing, what service they're providing, or whether or not basic things as to whether or not the accommodation that's being provided actually has fire certificates. None of that is divulged to the public. Mm. And when you're talking, as you've mentioned, of sums in excess of 1 billion euro, then I don't believe that that is a fair system or that is feasible at all, that a government department, as the Department of Justice do, simply hide behind a block wall in terms of transparency.
I was going to ask you if you could explain to us the mechanisms by which this accommodation is sourced. I mean, is it simply the Department of Justice looking for accommodation, or do they subcontract it out maybe to the OPW or someone like that? Because the Department of Justice, by definition, would not be an expert in letting premises or property.
So in most instances, the property is sourced because property owners make an expression of interest to the department. In some cases, a decision is made very quickly that a building isn't suitable. In some issue, the process goes on for months, causing, as you can imagine, consternation within local communities because they don't and have no way of getting full information as to whether or not the department is actively looking at a particular building for this purpose. And herein lies the problem. This is a system that is completely privatized and has zero transparency or accountability. And we know that there have been some damning issues. We've known that one IPAS provider was actually somebody who had been named in CAB documents as being involved in gangland activity. We've seen a company went from making profits of 2,000 euro a year to where its directors were being paid 4.5 million euro a year in wages. We've seen a company that had, in one instance, supplied fake Garda documents to TUSLA and then subsequently secured an IPAS accommodation. And we've seen companies whose names had appeared on the tax defaulters list. All of that information has come about not because the department have divulged it, but because journalists have exposed it. And that just shows, again, the whole lack of transparency. And what we've called for in Sinn Féin is a full review of every single IPAS contract, both in terms of value for money, service provided, and value to the delivery of what is actually being.
No, we don't have Jim O'Callaghan to respond to this, and hopefully we'll ask him to come in and talk about this. But they might argue, were they here, the Department of Justice, that they have been scrambling with the influx of people for so long and with the housing crisis at home and so on and so forth, that really they're doing the best they can under very difficult circumstances. They have to take property wherever they can find it. And really, they are, as far as the property owners are concerned, they are in the seller's market. They can kind of name their price.
Government have been scrambling, you're right in that. There have been an increase in applicants, relatively speaking, in the past number of years. But the real reason why the department is in a crux is because of its own dysfunction, because it is still taking far, far too long for decisions to be made. So when somebody comes into international protection system, it is taking close on 3 years on average for an actual decision to be made in respect of that application. And therein lies the reason for the pressure, and therein lies the reason why a very small number of individuals and companies are making literal fortunes, all the while local communities, the length and breadth of the state, are left agitated, feeling discombobulated, and having no impact whatsoever on decisions that are being made that affect their communities.
Now, they have promised reform for applicants coming to this country who are not Ukrainians or not EU or EAEA, the European Economic Area, arrivals. They promised reform in that area. And the promise, now whether this can be delivered on, is that a decision will be made within weeks and at most months rather than years in the case of people arriving. And there's no doubt that if this does come about and there are many more rejections than heretofore, it will have a deterrent effect.
Yes, if it comes about, but I have no confidence whatsoever in the department doing that, because they've been spending and putting all of their effort into the implementation of the EU Asylum and Migration Pact in terms of putting in place the legislative underpinning of that, rather than making the practical and operational decisions that are required to actually provide a situation where decisions are made quickly and where those decisions are enforced. And until you get to that point, and until you have a bilateral agreement with Britain, as we've spoke about before, then the underlying causes of the dysfunction are going to remain in place.
Well, that remains to be seen now when we have invited Jim McCallum on, hopefully before the end of the week, because I'm finishing up my 5 days programming and moving to the weekends in March. But I finish up my 5 day Monday to Friday 9 to 12 program. Hopefully before then, Jim O'Callaghan will come in and we'll get some answers from him. The other thing we've been hearing overnight is about the deportation of Polish and Lithuanian criminals from this jurisdiction back to their home countries. It seems something that should happen because we don't want to import other people's ne'er-do-wells. But, you know, we've seen it in action now. What's your reaction to that?
So first of all, best of luck to you, Pat, in your new endeavours. In respect of that, Sinn Féin have always been absolutely clear. The vast, vast, vast majority of people who come to Ireland are law-abiding citizens. In the case of the tiny minority of those who come here who abuse the Irish welcome by becoming involved in serious criminality, then absolutely they should be deported. The difficulty isn't that some deportations have taken place. It's that government have been far too slow in coming to this point and haven't been active enough in providing the confidence, not only to the domestic population, but to those other people who have come here from different parts of the world who are contributing positively to our society and who are often tarred by negative actors with the same brush as that tiny minority who are involved in criminality. So Sinn Féin are absolutely clear. If somebody comes to Ireland, avails of the welcome in which they should receive and abuses that by becoming involved in criminality, then absolutely they should be deported from Ireland and they should be prevented from re-entering our country.
So that is happening, and we've seen it happening more, I suppose, frequently than we had heretofore. It's still an expensive business, you know, when you're paying in excess of 100 grand for such a flight, but I suppose needs must. Matt Carthy, thank you very much for joining us. Matt is Sinn Féin spokesperson on Justice, Home Affairs and Migration and chair of the Oireachtas Committee on Justice, Home Affairs and Migration. Now, people across the United States continue to speak out in anger against the shooting of Alex Pretty in Minneapolis. The 37-year-old ICU nurse was shot and killed by ICE agents in Minneapolis on Saturday morning. And when you look at the video, it's quite clear he had been disarmed by the ICE agents. He'd been pepper sprayed by the ICE agents. He was overwhelmed by half a dozen of them before one of the ICE agents took out his gun and shot him in the back. In response to his death, award-winning actress Glenn Close said she was outraged and sickened by what is happening under the Trump regime in a video that she shared online on Sunday.
since what happened again in Minneapolis, I just feel compelled to say something. So I've actually written something that I'm going to read. I have been mostly out of the U.S. since this past September. So I've watched with the rest of the world our democracy being systematically disemboweled and torn apart, along with the institutions which, in the near past, though never perfect, have stabilized our society and supported the American people. I am outraged and sickened by what is happening under the Trump regime, the cruelty, inhumanity, and arrogance, the voracious corruption, the cowardice, the sickening hypocrisy, the blatant manipulation of facts, and now the cold-blooded murder of American citizens. I have felt for a long time that there are thousands and thousands of American citizens with cellars full of guns. I fear that ICE is giving them the excuse to pull the trigger. Humans, our conflicted species, since we ventured out of the caves, we have been tribal, territorial, and violent. The United States of America has been tribal, territorial, and violent from the very beginning. Democracy is the most idealistic and ambitious form of government because it demands that all individuals participate for the good of everyone, for society. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. Never perfect, because we are imperfect. But at its core, the idea that all of us are created equal and have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was revolutionary when it was conceived, and it still is. Not the pursuit of enemies or the pursuit of great riches that means the impoverishment of others, but of happiness. Democracy demands compromise, but compromise doesn't mean to sell out for personal gain or revenge. I feel, I sense from over here, that the great American body politic is stirring, waking up and taking in what's going on, what the Trump regime is attempting to do to our beloved country and its citizens. It is waking up and taking note. And mark my words, there will be hell to pay.
And that's the actor Glenn Close speaking yesterday.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.